بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، اما بعد. الحمد لله، with Allah's mercy, most of the topics have been covered on janazah, and we only have about two more important topics, and inshallah we will conclude with the discussion on janazah. Just for a few minutes, something came to my mind and I thought I'll share it. It's a very worrying aspect that the ulama are also starting to speak about. And we know that there are different ways that an attack comes in Islam. So technology today is the in thing, and the concern and the worry is that this AI now is the new thing, artificial intelligence. So the whole objective of the West was to cut off the general masses from knowledge. Sometimes they tried directly to burn the Quran Sharif. They did try to remove the Quran Sharif also. They failed. Such stringent laws, you can't practice Islam, you can't study Islam, you can't learn Islam, like in Russia. When the Communist Party was in power, the Muslims say they used to have secret rooms. Go behind one shelf, there's a staircase, go down into a sort of bunker or basement, and they'll stay. And the police will come and do their raids and check. Then they'll see pictures of Lenin, they'll see alcohol in the shelves. Say, okay, these people are our people. But behind the scenes, so Allah Ta'ala always made a means of protection. So now this is one of the latest things to cut people off from the ulama and from true knowledge. To cut them off. So in such programs now, these programs become like boring. It's not exciting anymore. What is exciting is now person got AI. AI is a mufti also. So sometimes before the website comes up, AI gives his answer on Google. First they give you AI. AI say makruh, mustahab, haram. After AI, then they give you the websites. And the websites also are very, very dangerous. Some websites, person innocently doesn't know. Rather not innocently, ignorantly, doesn't know there's a Shia website, for example. Or these people have a wrong belief system. Or this is a planted website, put there. And so the AI is drawing from all there. And then who decides what comes up first, what comes up second, what comes up third? So there are many things to consider. Ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayhi comes in one of the siyasita in the beginning. He said, "Inna hadha al-ilma deenun." This knowledge is your deen. "Fanzuru amman ta'khuduna deenakum." So look well where you're taking your deen from. He used the word who you're taking your deen from. One is corrupt people. You're taking a deen from a person, they got no deen in him. And you want to take noor and deen. That person got no noor. And you take deen from him, a kafir lecturer, for example. He's lecturing, he studied the books. So he's giving you the lecture, but there's no noor in that. So that is one. Like Hazrat Maulana Harun Abbas Umar, Shaykhul Hadith, Imam of Pingo Beach Masjid, Rahmatullah Ali. Maulana had a very jovial way of explaining things. So anyway, he's speaking to the students. And he's saying that you should only allow, if you're an imam, you should only allow ulama to give Jummah talks. He said, because there's been a definite agenda and an effort being made to take over the Jummah platform even from the ulama. But even that now, they don't need it. Even that now, they don't really need it now. Now they've got the technology. So who are you taking your deen from? So I'm saying, look at us, we're sitting here, right? What's the age group here? What is the age group? Now this AI is something recent, right? If you trace it a few decades, technology really was on the, came on the rise. Internet, all these things came on the rise. You know, computers and all that wasn't there. Pen and paper, how people used to operate, the till, what was the till system. You know, it was all recent, not in a long past. This calculator was in the head. So it's all in the recent past now, there's this massive change. And the concern is deen. Mawlana Fahim Asmal in this masjid, 2-3 weeks ago, gave a very good talk. You must listen to it again. He spoke about this in a very, very categorical manner. In a very clear way, he explained that why we cannot go to AI. So just the other day I mentioned to the students, spoke about this. So one student immediately asked, Mawlana, but why? Why can't we take from AI? Why can't we take from there? So it's a great responsibility on us to connect our children, to connect them to the masjid, and to connect them with programs, majalis, gatherings of knowledge, ulama. It's important. Otherwise, it's a microwave age. People are very lazy nowadays. I must go ask and phone and this. Quickly now, in the middle of the night, something happened. Just phone, yeah? Just check it on the AI and carry on with that. Forget about asking also. Whatever AI says, very impressive also. Whoever knows about it, very impressive also. The presentation. Some things might get right also. Some things might be right. Some things might be mixed up. But then what happens is we become mixed up. Before, it wasn't called an app. It was called a program. Right, this program, that program. Now they changed the word and made it apps. But actually that program was made to program you. You supposed to become the robot. Now, they make a joke. Say a robot is verifying that you're a human. It's a joke. A robot is asking you to verify that you're not a robot. But that robot is programming you without knowing it. It becomes the imam. And you become the follower. That's the imam. So it's a worry, it's a concern. We need to think about this carefully and see how we can make an effort, because this new generation that's coming up, these are going to be now some of the major challenges, technology. Technology. So I was speaking to one Maulana, he said, it's not artificial intelligence, it's artificial idiocy. Artificial idiocy. Someone might think, no, AI is brilliant, man. But those who are a little bit more intelligent, you know, this thing is, it's a fool. But we see what happened now with the new generation. Maths literacy, very bad. English literacy, very bad. What's dulling the mind, if you ask ourselves? It's not a long period of time. They can't read. The new generation, it's affecting the Quran also, they can't even read English. They can't do simple maths. And it's not like one or two isolated cases, you know. When we were small, you say, this child is a little bit slow, you know, in remedial. I think that slow child would have been very bright now, in this zamana. So what is causing that? What is dulling the mind? What is the distraction? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the time will come to hold on to your iman will be like holding on to burning coals. And you will be like a stranger in society, because Islam when Islam started, people thought it was something strange. So this time and age also, find the whole flow is in one direction. And we have to be more intelligent than that, to hold things very, very firm. Every child got a tablet or a phone. It's a reality. Parent feels that if I don't give my child, one is a PlayStation or some technology, some device, then I have deprived my child. The friends got it, family members got it, so I have deprived my child. But the moment you give it, you're opening a door. then you see all the problems that come with it. You brought it upon yourself. So one of my friends, he said, I want to play you one voice note. He said, my child is 2 years old. 2 years old, see what he's asking. So he came to him and said, Papa, I want the password for the tablet. two years old child. He said, what you want? He said, I want the password for the tablet. Can't even talk properly. He said, give me the password for the tablet. So some people say, Mashiyam, bohoshyar, like, you know, very, very clever child. See, that's not intelligence. Our minds, alhamdulillah, with Allah's mercy, we didn't have all these things. When madrasa, your whole dhyan was there. When school, your whole dhyan was there. Because you didn't have all these things to worry about. Climbing trees and riding bicycle and playing and all that, jumping, skipping, whatever, falling, getting hurt, fighting. All that used to take place, but that's all. Certain time you go to bed, that time, right? It was like natural, normal. Now artificial now, you don't want to sleep. Stimulated now. When you heard small children saying, my head is paining, my back is paining, I got insomnia, I can't sleep. Small children. So this is coming from somewhere. Lifestyle. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we can do what is right. It's a concern, it's a worry. Make dua, inshallah. We all make dua. Because we sing now, as we're going further, we sing a lot of change. We sing it. And it's not a... Look, I'm still young, right? Tok Sab is much older than me. But in that short period of time, we sing so much of change. In a short period of time. About 2 decades. It's scary to think what the next 2-3 decades, what's going to happen. So it's a tough that is ahead of us as parents and grandparents. I was reading the other day, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his grandson, Hazrat Hassan or Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, he took one date and put it in his mouth. Nabi sallallahu alaihi took his finger, he took the date out. He said, this is sadaqah. Small child, but he's educating him. Grandfather, my boy, this is sadaqah, and we are the family. You are the family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sayyid family, and you can't eat sadaqah. So what came to my mind is, see, the elders, we have to be there to teach and educate. Small child. See, at the age of 7, he knew 13 hadiths. At the age of 7. So we have to. There was one Maulana Qari Yusuf Bemat. I was in Port Elizabeth. He gave a very, very stern talk. And his talk was on, half was on drugs and half was on technology. And he quoted a book called The Anxious Generation. And he says, there's an atheist that wrote this book. And he said, the anxious generation, say, what is technology doing to our children? How is messing them up? It's a whole book written that one of the countries, I can't remember which country, maybe Australia or somewhere, that they decided to ban technology under the age of 15. On the basis of this book, 2024 was written. It was just written last year. Was published last year. The Anxious Creed. Anxious Generation. And he documented cases of what technology has done to children. And how it has finished them up. And how they have become addicted to technology. And they can't think straight. So he's put it there. They say in Korea, one person, his mother told him that you must stop these games and all that. So he killed his mother and went back to playing the game. Like nothing happened. Warped the mind. Husband and wife, this was about 12 years ago, Korea. That time they used to go to internet cafe to play. They had a real baby at home. They neglected the child. They're playing virtual reality. They got a baby in virtual reality, more concerned about that life. This child cried in the flat or in the home alone, no one to feed, no one to see. Child died. Malnutrition, whatever. 12 hours at a time, sitting and playing. He said there is a word now that is used in Japan for this generation now that have become useless in our terms. say hikikomori. And in English it means failure to launch. What it means, you fail to transition from a teenager to an adult. You're stuck. Your age is moving, but you're stuck as a child. Mommy, papa, do this for me, do that, give me money, take me here, buy me food. Stuck as a child and want to play games and have the good life, so to say, but not prepared for responsibilities. So you see, in Japan they call him hikikomori. He's one, he's on his own ummat now. Useless. Allah Pak Seva, Allah protect us. Just came out on the spur of the moment, whatever just came to my mind. It's a concern, it's a worry. We have to make some effort, inshallah. I think one of the first efforts is get our children to perform salah in the masjid, inshallah. That's the first thing. Get them to come to the masjid, perform salah in the masjid, inshallah. And we have to be very, very careful with this technology, what's in their hands, what they are doing. Talim at home. Our elders are saying this talim is a general treatment, inshallah, for all diseases. Talim, dua. And also explain to them these aspects about AI. Because this, and in fact, we were in one workshop, Maktab workshop. And they said that this is the thing now, this is the thing at hand. Maulana Imtiaz Katrada from Stanger, Maulana is very, very, active with the youth. So he said that he got a call about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. And the father says that my son was on this, whatever he was, and he got some major doubts about Islam. Got some major, major doubts about Islam. And Maulana told us there's one person, he said that this AI, however it works, algorithms and whatever it is, it basically susses you out what type of person you are, right? From what you're searching and whatever you're doing, right? Susses you out, maybe your email account, so they know you've got some history about you. This is how this person is. But this person now had nothing. So he brand new now, he's asking AI, what is your end goal? So AI replied, to take you away from God. To take you away from God. That's the end goal. Nevertheless, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. This fikr also, we can make some fikr in that line, inshallah. Connecting our children to the ulama. To the ulama-i haq. Connecting them to the ulama-i haq. That is what is required, inshallah. Okay, one or two questions, inshallah. This section is miscellaneous masail. The various masail pertaining to different aspects regarding janazah. The first question is, if a person made a wasiyat, for example, someone said that I want certain maulana, certain imam, certain sheikh to perform my janazah salah, do you have to listen to that request and bequest of his? So the answer is no. That is not necessary to follow. His wali, the person that passed away, his wali has the first right to perform his janazah. Now who is the wali? The wali is person's father, grandfather, son, grandson. Goes in that order. Father, grandfather, son, grandson, brother. So these are the person's wali. So they will have the right to perform his janazah. If the janazah is performed in an Islamic state, then the wali is the ruler of that Islamic state. He has the right to perform it. Right. Or whoever he appoints. Generally in a masjid, the imam of the masjid has the right to perform the janazah salah. It's his right to perform the janazah salah. And if there is an alim that's in the family, then he will have the right. That means the alim that is the wali, he will have the right of performing the janazah salah. So this is just some of the details in that respect, but you don't have to fulfill that. Many, many times people ask the questions of attending the funeral of a non-Muslim, attending the ceremonies of non-Muslims. Neighbor passed away, was a non-Muslim, going to the church, temple, whatever. So as Muslims, Allah Ta'ala has prohibited us from attending their rituals, their processions, their prayers, their memorials, whatever it may be. We cannot present ourselves there. So what do we do? What do we do? Then what we do is afterwards, we go to the house, we can meet the family. I'm very sad for your loss. No? And we watch our words also. Our words are very important. You don't say rest in peace. You don't say may he rest in peace. Now these are trends. You can't make dua for that person. He passed away on kufr as far as we know. What is between him and Allah Ta'ala, we don't know. But as far as we know, from his dressing, his own testimony, his actions, we know that he was a non-Muslim. So that's all Allah Pak wants from us. We judge, Umar radiallahu anhu said, we judge people by what is apparent to us. If a person came to the masjid and said, I'm a Muslim, we'll take it on face value. But if a person is saying he's a Christian, he got a Christian name, he's going to a church, whatever, then we know now he's a non-Muslim. Now beyond that, now Allah Pak is not going to ask us. So we don't say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and we don't attend. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the janazah of the munafiq Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. Then Allah Ta'ala revealed the verse. وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدَ مِنْهُمْ أَبَدًا. Don't perform the janazah salah ever. Don't go and stand by the graves also. إِنَّهُمْ. They have disbelieved in Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they died on kufr. So that is important to remember. I remember someone asked me about his workers. Sometimes the worker is a non-Muslim. Now he was working for me for so long. Now it's so hard. So I said, no, see, you have to draw the line in Islam. Just now, Mawlana Zakaria Magda was explaining in a madrasa. He said, very beautiful, we'll conclude with this. He was explaining. He said that once Hazrat Shaykh al-Hind, Rahmatullah Ali, explained the hadith that no one can be a true believer, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, until I am more beloved to him than his wealth, than his children, than all of mankind, and in some hadith, than himself. So no one can be a true believer. So one student, he said, was a great alim also. Thereafter became a very great alim. He said, Hazrat, if the hadith is saying that, that means all of us got perfect iman. It means all of us, who of us don't love Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so much? Who of us? We love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam more than anything. So that means we got perfect iman. So the ustad told him, you haven't understood the hadith. The ustad said that the hadith means that when Allah Pak's test comes, what you give preference to? There's a nikah, you give preference to the sunnah, or you give preference to your family or your desire. What you give preference. Something is happening and is not completely right. For example, now there's a function and there's mixing up, intermingling. Now you still went, you said, no, family must keep the muhabbat, all that. You still went. So you give preference to your family over Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's shariat, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's deen. So he said, that's what it means. So these tests will come, tough tests, and people will pass comments and they'll say something. But you have to stand firm. That is when you can see who you love more. So like in these cases now, when interacting with disbelievers, so what stance do you take? But how you approach it, you must use wisdom also. How you approach it. Harun Sahib was saying, standing in the students, see, if in your community, you work in a community, you must visit the people in their occasions of happiness, sadness, whatever it is, right? But if there's something that's not correct there, it doesn't mean you must join them in that wrong. That person is doing some activities that you don't agree with in his house. Now, we're not saying you must go there and join those activities. We are saying now, with wisdom and tact, go before or go after. Make an excuse. Sorry, I couldn't come on that day. I'm not saying why you couldn't come. I just couldn't come. For your reasons, you know your reasons. I couldn't come there. I came now. So he says, in that way, you can work with people. So even with non-Muslims too, then we need to know how to work. Use a little bit wisdom, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq.